and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. President Biden's brother James testified behind closed doors today for hours as part of the House Republicans' impeachment probe against the president. The questions focused on two checks totaling nearly $250,000 that he and his wife sent the president in 2017, 2018.
James Biden has reiterated in his testimony to lawmakers, we've learned, exactly what the White House has said, which is that that was a loan repayment, not some kind of cash being sent through James Biden's overseas business dealings through James Biden to the president, who was then a private citizen, as Republicans allege. He says it's a loan repayment, nothing to see there.
ABC's Jay O'Brien, the White House is considering executive action to toughen restrictions on migrants at the southern border. United Airlines will resume flights to Israel next month for the first time since the start of the Israel-Hamas war. An illegally operated open-pit gold mine in Venezuela collapsed while dozens were working there. This is ABC News. Police in Oklahoma are now investigating the death of a 16-year-old following a fight in a high school bathroom as a possible case of bullying over gender identity. A new test can help women identify different stages of menopause, something which isn't often spoken about openly.
ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Jennifer Ashton lists just some of the as many as 50 symptoms of menopause.
Brain fog, migraines, anxiety and depression, mood changes, skin changes, palpitations, weight gain, irregular periods.
The midlife hormonal shift is the second biggest internal upheaval in women's lives after only puberty. Some can experience it as young as 40. The average age is 50, and you can only tell if you've reached menopause if you haven't had your period for at least a year. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
And making history at Howard University, the school has its first ever HBCU figure skating team, which is set to compete in the first intercollegiate tournament, the University of Delaware, this weekend. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfein. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on News from the Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE. And on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swinging territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website. CivicMedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin businesses suffering losses during the warm, dry winter can apply for federal disaster loans. The U.S. Small Business Administration says its disaster coverage will extend to businesses hurt by the lack of winter weather this season. Businesses that cater to outdoor recreation are especially hard hit. Eric Hovde is officially in the race for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. He made his campaign announcement Tuesday on social media.
Our country is facing enormous challenges. Our economy, our health care, crime, and open borders. Everything is going in the wrong direction. All Washington does is divide us and talk about who's to blame.
Of the Republicans in the race, Hovde presents the most formidable challenge to incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Woody is back in the clubhouse. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers making it official today. Pitcher Brandon Woodruff signs a two-year deal with a third-year option to return to the crew. He had surgery on his shoulder last October and was asked, how's he doing so far?
I'm just a little bit over 4 months in. I started a throwing program last week, and that's been going good. It's a slow and steady progression, but as of right now, I feel good. I feel completely normal. Now it's just all about getting my shoulder back used to, you know, the stresses that we do day in and day out. But as of right right now I'm doing great, just following protocol, and you know, look forward to getting out to Maryvale and getting with the staff and continuing that build up. So, but as far as 4 months in, man, I'm doing good.
No timetable yet if he could return this year. The Brewers also officially signing catcher Gary Sanchez to a 1-year contract. College basketball, Marquette at home tonight. They take on the DePaul Blue Demons. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky with lows in the low 30s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and warmer, highs to the upper 50s. A mix of sun and clouds on Friday. It cools back down to 40 degrees, but warming again this weekend. Low 40s Saturday, low 50s Sunday. Right now, it's 43.
Thursday on Matt and Air On Air, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us for a public service announcement. Then we talk sports with Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe. Hope you'll join us.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
One, two, three, four.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood.
Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right.
And now a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight. So great to have you with me, broadcasting live all over our great state of Wisconsin. And we've got a couple more minutes here with a native son, Jeff Cesario. He is a stand-up comedian. He's performed on The Tonight Show, had his own comedy specials. He's won Emmys as a writer. It's so great having him here, even if it's just for a few more minutes. Jeff, okay, so we covered Dennis Miller. We covered Larry Sanders. I know we only have a few minutes left. What if you're a big sports fan? And a big Badger fan.
Huge Wisconsin fan.
Yeah, and I wrote on a show for a couple of years called Sports Soup in L.A., and it was one of the best gigs I ever had. I sat in a room with four other sports fans who were hilariously funny, and we had the best time of our lives. You, I mean, with comedy and sports with you, is the environment ripe right now for another sports comedy show?
I don't know. They never quite seem to get the traction that they should. I have an alter ego, a sports announcer named Chet Waterhouse, who has the worst sponsors in the world, but he calls everything like it's the seventh game of the World Series. And of course, Pete, I'm the voice of international speed fishing, which is a combination of ice skating and ice fishing and speed skating. You got to run laps around the you auger the hole and then you skate laps. It's a team sport. Let's just suffice to say that. Sponsored by Throwbacks, the e-cigarette you light with a match. You know, that kind of stuff. I do that.
Right.
And I've had a blast doing it, but I've never been able to push that over into, you know, enough traction to do a major show. I don't know why sports comedy shows don't quite seem to click.
Yeah.
Probably podcast might be the best a platform for him. But, you know, when you come out of Wisconsin, especially as an Italian kid out of Kenosha, when the Packers were in their heyday with Vince Lombardi at the helm, I mean, it's just in my blood to root for the Packers and to root for the Badgers. As I always say, when I started to root for the Badgers, they were horrible. But Earl Gillespie is the one who got me hooked, the play-by-play guy, because he would make it so exciting on the radio, Pete. He'd be like, there's the kickoff from Illinois. Billy Merrick under it at the five. He's churning, spinning, driving to the six. And you go, well, Earl, I think he fell down. But, you know, I'm 13. I'm like, that's so exciting. I got to go to Wisconsin.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
So I went to Madison, and the rest is history. I love it.
All right, two quick questions for you, Jeff. I wanted to ask you about Brian Regan too, but I hope you can come back soon and we'll do that, because I know you've worked with Brian and Jerry Seinfeld. But
two of the greatest guys in the world, Seinfeld and Regan.
Oh man, I mean, and talk about, I mean, Brian Regan, they're both phenomenal. But yeah, that could be an hour long conversation, at least on my end. Yeah. I love Brian Regan and I like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, he's
a lot.
Brilliant. He's just
and
brilliant.
Seinfeld, for a young comic. Who I met him once after a show, and he was very gracious. I hadn't even started doing stand-up yet. And then I met him at the Laugh Factory, and I reminded him of the time I met him at the Vic Theater in Chicago, and he went, oh, yeah. He didn't remember me, but he was just trying to be a nice guy, you know. Nothing but great things to say about Seinfeld in a limited capacity and Brian. So, but we'll do that next time because that's a better, that's a different conversation.
You got it.
But
I'm in.
What, real quick, Jeff, what are you watching? Because that's what we talk about on this show. We try to give people recommendations for binge or cringe watching movies, TV. Can you recommend something?
I loved Better Things, which was a Pamela Adlon sitcom on FX. I loved Reservation Dogs, which is I believe on FX. Tremendous comedies. I just loved the
tone of those shows. Yeah.
I love the tone of those shows. And of course, Reservation Dogs is about Native American kids coming of age on the reservation. But it's just brilliant and hilarious. And lately, my wife and I have been watching Feud, the Truman Capote.
Truman Capote.
And it's just great, dirty television, if I can call it that. It's just
that's on my fun, list.
Guilty pleasure. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So I kind of run the gamut. And then what I won't watch is college basketball. I cannot. I will watch
really
every minute of a Wisconsin football game, even if they're getting destroyed. Wisconsin basketball, I can't watch it. Too much agita. Too much Italian nerves building up. Like the pace of it. Something's wrong. I need it's like a triple espresso from the first tip off. I can't watch it. So I just follow on my score app. But Badger hockey I can watch as well. So that's a weird thing. I follow Wisconsin basketball. And of course now I'm following Wisconsin volleyball, women's volleyball.
Oh yeah.
Women's hockey and men's hockey. And I'm a real fan. I mean, people always ask me, why do you wear, you know, Wisconsin jerseys and stuff? Why don't you wear like, you know, Tommy Hilfiger? And I go, well, you know, when Tommy Hilfiger sponsors a 4-year university that gives me a degree, then maybe I'll wear his jersey.
It could happen, Jeff. You never know.
Yeah. Nowadays they might have, but till then it's the old Badger
kid. I love it. Native Wisconsinite, Kenosha kid done good. This is so much fun, Jeff. We got to do it again. I hope you can find the time to come back to Nightlight sometime. It was great having you.
My pleasure.
All right. Have a great night. That's Jeff Cesario. He is, check him out. He's got a website, jeffcesario.com. Check that out. And the character he referenced is there too. Chet Waterhouse, very funny. And he's got another character there too, Lou Rossi. Based on an old talk show. Very funny stuff. Jeff's a great guy. So that was really fun. All right. So as we mentioned earlier, keep those texts coming too. We'll read a few texts in just a minute, but, this is the anniversary of the date that Bottle Rocket hit theaters and Old School. We covered Old School before. We're going to talk about Bottle Rocket. One of my favorite, most underrated movies, Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson, And we have a clip right now, so we'll throw to that clip and we'll come back and we'll discuss Bottle Rocket. Conrad, what clip are we going to go with here?
We could do Keep the Gun on the Table.
All right. They're planning a robbery. They want to be a gang. They're planning a robbery. They have no idea what they're doing. And this is Owen Wilson leading his own crew. This is the first film. This is the first Wes Anderson film, feature-length film, with Owen and Luke Wilson. Go ahead.
Okay, escape route is crucial, just in case somebody is tailing us or even chasing us, as the case may be. We can't be sure how it is going to happen.
Do you think we're going to be chased tonight? Is that a possibility?
That's a good question. No, I don't think we're going to be chased. I'm just being hypocritical here. However, I will say,
Bob, please don't interrupt me, man, because I'm trying to stay focused on this stuff. You're responsible for the external situation tomorrow, streets and the getaway.
Whoa. Excuse me, are the explosives really necessary here? I think it'd be a lot more simple if I just walk up to the door alone. I think that would be...
Why are you undermining me, man? How much bullets does this thing take?
Bob, look, please, I'm paying attention. Damn it! You're not paying attention if you're messing around with the gun. Now quit...
Anthony, just
keep the gun on the table. Keep
dignity,
relax.
I can't
focus unless the gun is on the table.
You just paid for it.
Shut up, man. Shut up. I'm warning you now. Be quiet, please.
It's true, Dignan. I paid for the gun.
Say it again. Say it one more time. Say it again. Repeat what you just said.
I paid for the gun.
He
He's out. You're out too. And I don't think I'm in either.
I don't think I'm in either. He just fired himself from the gang. That's Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson. And a clip from Bottle Rocket. If you have not seen Bottle Rocket, it is Wes Anderson's first film, and in my opinion, his best film. Very funny stuff. Definitely check it out. I'll tell you what, if you rent Bottle Rocket and you don't like it, I will pay your Blockbuster video late fee. How does that sound?
They still have Blockbuster?
No, that's the beauty of it. I get off scot-free. From the 920, new texter, Drake from Green Bay, says, what is the Wisconsin connection to the Stripes movie? Caution, one bleep near the end. Oh, yeah. Harold Raymond says, I got the bleep kicked out of me in Wisconsin. Who do you think you're dealing with here, Drake? Amateurs? I've seen Stripes about 20 times. I think Drake's probably seen it a few times, too. Thanks, Drake. Welcome. Great to hear from you. From the 608, this is Carla. Aunt Carla from Baraboo. Hi, Aunt Carla. Listening. To be honest, I haven't seen Old School in so long, so we decided to dual watch Old School and listen to the best radio show in Wisconsin. Maybe later I can really answer tonight's question. Well, thank you, Carla. You're a big part of the best radio show in Wisconsin, in your opinion. And we're glad to have you always texting. We love your texts. 608, Rico from Rock County. This is for Conrad. Hey, oh, we already dealt with that. That was Rico being a good citizen, actually. From the 920, Steve from Florida says, Conrad's dad. Also, Steve from Florida, also known as Conrad's dad.
Yes.
Sorry, Pete. I've never seen the movie Old School, maybe because my focus at the time was kids' movies because Conrad was only 4. That's so rude, Conrad, of you to be born and conflict with the release of Old School. And his older brother was 11. The movie series Spy Kids at the time. I will make it my goal this week to watch Old School this week to get caught up on my responsible dad days. There you go, Steve. You can't go wrong. Anyways, if I can, I was thinking more today on your question last night on favorite movies from Saturday Night Live stars. Coneheads was a great movie. Great pull, Steve. I forgot about Coneheads. And that incorporated the original Saturday Night Live talents. Dan Aykroyd, Jane Curtin, and up-and-coming young Chris Farley, Madison, Wisconsin native. Was Chris Farley in Coneheads? I'm not doubting your dad, Conrad. I just don't remember that.
We have to go to the Google.
We got to go to the Google. Take a memo. We got to Google. 608, Rico from Rock County. Anya is my favorite producer. By the way, nothing against you, Conrad. How is Conrad not supposed to? How's he supposed to take that, Rico? There's plenty of room at the top. I'm sure Anya would agree with that, too. And Anya is on the line right now. Welcome, Anya. How are you?
I'm good. Rico summoned me somehow. Isn't that amazing?
That's what happens when Rico mentions someone in a text. Boom. They are on the show.
That's how good civic media is. We listen to our listeners and we provide.
We absolutely do. We Anya on the spot. So there you go, Rico. So Anya's going to be here. We're going to talk about movies with Anya. We got to do a quick bit of business, but this is going to be fun. Anya, I love talking to Anya about movies. She sent me 2 movie trailers I have to ask you about. So crazy. So we'll discuss that too.
Sounds good.
Anya Esther is going to illuminate the show that is already lit because it's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the March protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
The hits keep coming and the fun keeps rolling. We go from Jeff Cesario to Bottle Rockets to the lovely and talented Anya Esther, the producer of the Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. And that's a new gig for you, Anya. You told us a little bit about it last week. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I've been with Maggie for a while. She brought her show back to air over the summer, and I wasn't the original producer, but I took over pretty quickly after. But this move to midday is very new, and this move to 2 hours is very new. So starting on Monday, we are going to be from 2 to 4 all weekdays, and it is going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing.
Is that like the greatest time slot? Because, I mean, 2 to 4, you don't have to go to bed early. You don't have to get up early. It's smack dab in the – you don't miss lunch or dinner. How'd you swing that?
It's – well, you know – I don't know. I wish I could understand what path got me to here because I'd redo it. But yeah, it is the greatest time slot. I hosted at the 3 p.m. slot the first week or maybe the second week of February, and I was astounded. I wasn't even saying anything all that interesting, and the call line was just lighting up. So it's a whole different time of day. People are awake. People are alert. They stay awake and alert for this show, but it'll be nice to get them a little earlier in the day. So
wow.
Very exciting.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, congrats on the promotion and working with Maggie. I know you said she's got some time off or what. We'd love to have her on this show when she's ready. I'll reach out to her. But okay, so you're an aspiring writer and you're immensely talented. I wanted to talk movies with you, but you sent me 2 trailers last week. And we were going to play a game and we didn't, I think last week was busy. And then today we had
so busy.
So where did you find that Sasquatch? It's called Sasquatch Sunset. It's, I think it's in theaters right now, but maybe a select few.
Yeah, this is definitely the kind of film that goes to like your local, if you have one, your local art house theater. This is one. I don't know where in Milwaukee it's going to play, so I don't want to name theaters I think it'll show up at, but I know where I'd like to see it. I saw the trailer for this just sitting on my couch. I had YouTube on and I was watching some brain rot content in the background as I'm working on other things. And, you know, I don't get ads on my computer, but I get them if I watch YouTube on the TV.
Really?
And all of a sudden it starts playing this music. Ooh, you know, the sound of the forest. I'm like, this is interesting. And it immediately captured my interest when it said it was being produced or executive produced by Ari Aster, who is the director, writer behind some of the best horror films of, I think, the past couple of years, Midsommar, Hereditary. He also has some really great short films, Munchausen and Something About the Johnsons. These are both available online. But so this trailer just comes up and it appears to be a uncomfortable documentary.
Oh, did we lose Anya? It's very bizarre. Let's see if we can get her back, Conrad.
Yeah.
The Sasquatch one, it's called Sasquatch Sunset. And it's mostly music in this imagery of the woods. And it goes on like that for like a minute. It's just this beautiful scenery. And you hear some noise. There's some audio cues and all that kind of stuff. And then it cuts to 2 Sasquatches performing a sex act. And I'm like, what in the heck? Is this? I just didn't even know what I was watching. And then they show a baby Sasquatch, more Sasquatches, and then another sex act. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I could see why if you were Anya and you saw this on your TV, you'd be like, I have to talk about this.
Are you guys able to hear me now?
We can hear you now. Welcome back.
Because I cannot hear you somehow. Very interesting.
Am I muted, Conrad? All hell is breaking loose on Nightlight tonight. Do we have her? We had issues with Anya last week, too, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to head over there with my tools. If I'm not back in 15 minutes, continue the show without me.
Pete the Builder.
Pete the Builder, that's right. I can, I'm the least handy person you will ever meet. Anya, if you can hear us, maybe just call in, if that's better. Or there you are.
All right, now I can hear you.
Okay, I can hear
Hopefully
you too.
Hopefully you can hear me. We are
all set. I said to Conrad, I was just about to head over to your place with the tools. And see,
I was thinking, yeah, my entire computer crashed, went entirely blue. So now I'm speaking to you from my phone, which is propped up on one of my Nikon cameras. Well, the most filmmaker, home filmmaker thing I could do.
I appreciate you sticking with us. Thank you very much.
Of course.
So I was telling the listeners this Sasquatch sunset. All right. So it starts off with this beautiful scenery and this great music. And that goes on for about 40 seconds or so. And then they cut to like two Sasquatches doing a sex act. And I'm like,
that's right.
What in the heck? And then more music, a baby Sasquatch being born, and then another sex act. I'm like, what is happening? Like, I never even heard of this film, but it's in theaters right now, apparently.
It is very strange. It's exactly what I would expect from Ari Aster. I'm not nearly as familiar with the directors behind this, but I'm excited to see what else they do because.
Oh, he didn't direct it?
He executive produced it, but he is a fantastic director in his own right. And I'm glad to see he's clearly, you know, getting involved on the creative side because some of these shots to me just scream Ari, especially the way Midsommar, they reel you in with these beautiful images of Sweden in the summer. It's so nice. And of course, that's a deeply horrifying film too, with some very, very scary sex acts, I might add.
Really? Well,
yes. Have you not seen it yet?
I have not. And I have not seen that. I'm going to be honest here. I'm too scared to watch Hereditary.
I don't blame you. It's a very scary film.
I hear it's just awful. And I mean, it's not my background is comedy, some drama. I the horror stuff really freaks me out. But I did watch Barbarian. Did we talk about that?
We didn't because I've not seen it yet, but that is very high on my list to see. Yes.
It's, you know, as a writer, I think you'll really like it. It takes a turn in the middle of the movie. I did not see coming. I was like, oh, this is so great. So, but anyway, so I can watch horror and I will. I need to see Hereditary. It's supposed to be outstanding, as is Midsommar. But I want to talk to you about this other one too next. And it's the Out of Darkness, I think. And that's one too that. Maybe you can tell us about it. Maybe we can talk some Oscars, too. Does that sound good?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Anya Esther is here. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. We'll be right back. Thanks for being with me here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
A ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. President Biden's brother James testified behind closed doors today for hours as part of the House Republicans' impeachment probe against the president. The questions focused on two checks totaling nearly $250,000 that he and his wife sent the president in 2017, 2018.
James Biden has reiterated in his testimony to lawmakers, we've learned, exactly what the White House has said, which is that that was a loan repayment, not some kind of cash being sent through James Biden's overseas business dealings through James Biden to the president, who was then a private citizen, as Republicans allege. He says it's a loan repayment, nothing to see there.
ABC's Jay O'Brien, the White House is considering executive action to toughen restrictions on migrants at the southern border. United Airlines will resume flights to Israel next month for the first time since the start of the Israel-Hamas war. An illegally operated open-pit gold mine in Venezuela collapsed while dozens were working there. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Buggyhout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers is asking the state Supreme Court to reconsider the state's congressional maps. He signed new legislative maps into law on Monday. Democratic law firm Elias Law Group asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to take up the congressional maps after the court ruled last year that the legislative maps were unconstitutional. The court will have to move fast as the state elections commission says new maps need to be in place by March 15th to take effect this November. Wisconsin State Senate Republicans are firing four more of Governor Evers' appointees, Democratic Senator Mark Spreitzer.
Governor Evers is still the governor, and he'll still be the governor next session. It's been 5 years, and I'm still waiting for all of you to get used to that.
Tuesday's firings include former Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton from the UW Hospitals and Clinics Board and Tom Ames from the Natural Resources Board. I'm Nate Wuggyhout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Alba Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky with lows in the low 30s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and warmer, highs to the upper 50s. A mix of sun and clouds on Friday. It cools back down to 40 degrees, but warming again this weekend. Low 40s Saturday, low 50s Sunday. Right now, it's 43.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination. But there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History Story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. We are in our final quadrant, if you will, of Nightlight. Broadcasting live statewide from City Deck Landing Studios here in Green Bay, downtown Green Bay at WGBW. Great to have you with me tonight. Got a few more texts here from the 818. Bridget says, funniest old school, Will Ferrell streaking and getting picked up in the SUV. That is our second vote for that scene, which I have to agree with. And here's how comfortable, Anya, here's how comfortable I am in my abilities. Rico from Rock County just propped you up and tore Conrad down, and I disagreed with that. But Rico's a regular texter. He seems like a good guy. He says, Maggie's my favorite host on Civic Media. Nothing against you, Pete.
I feel like now he's just attacking the whole lot here. My Lord.
It's okay because Rico just went from my favorite texter to third place. How do you like that, Rico? No, I'm kidding. I'm not even my favorite host on Civic Media, so that doesn't really offend me. But Rico is always, don't tell the devils that Maggie's my favorite. I think Rico, you got to love a guy who just keeps Civic Media on all day, right? He knows all the hosts, all the producers, you know.
He really does. I talked to him during Busted Pencils. I think I heard from him earlier in the day. Rico's my constant. When everything else in this world changes, Rico's going to be there. And that's great.
he'll be there for sure. He'll be there on the stream from the 715. I love Sean William Scott's character. You got a dart in your neck. Also, a UW-Madison alum. Nice. Get him on the show. Conrad, take a memo.
Sounds good.
Let's get Sean William Scott. Did Maggie tell you to take a memo?
No, she'll sort of say something and then look up as though she's realizing that instead of just telling the listener, she should have also told me. And I take that as my sign to take a memo. Or she'll go, tomorrow we're going to have the coolest guest ever. They're the best. I just booked them 5 minutes ago. And you should write that down, Anya. And I go, okay. So I'm glad that you call out at least to take a memo. That's good. That cues him right back
See
in.
See that, Conrad? You don't have so bad here.
I got like three full notebooks of memos. All right. I don't even know where to start anymore.
Got a lot of memos.
I get that.
Okay, so let's get back. We're talking movies.
Yes.
And TV. What we were on, is it Out of Darkness? Was that the other one you sent, Anya? I think it was called Out of Darkness.
Yeah.
Now, that was released in 2022. Have you seen that?
So I'm so confused by this film because I just saw the trailer for this the same week that I saw the trailer for Sasquatch Sunset.
Yeah.
Then as I'm doing all this research, it's saying that this film released in 22. Pete, you know a lot more about film distribution than I ever will, so I'm going to leave that mystery up to you. But the IMDb does say that its official release date was February 9th of this year. So I don't know if this is if it hit some festival circuit. Now it's getting a theatrical release. I don't know what it is, but no, I haven't seen it yet. I was just kind of mind blown by how much the trailer was able to show me without, I don't think, revealing how it's going to end. There's too many trailers I watch for horror films or suspense films that in the 1 minute that they're on kind of tell you up until, you know, at least halfway through the second act. And then all that's left is like the final beats of the film. I have ADHD. I can't pay attention for 2 hours if I already know what's going to happen. You know, I have to go in completely blind. And I like that this trailer showed me that this film takes place in 43,000 BCE, that they speak a language that isn't English, that they're fighting something that's bigger than a mammoth.
Yeah.
And yet I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where in the world they are, what it was, what they're dealing with. And I'm excited to learn about that in watching the film because it's like, oh, you could tell me so much without giving it all away.
Yeah.
You must have so much to show. Let me come see what you're doing because that sounds worth the time to me.
Absolutely. And it looks, I mean, it's called a survival thriller.
Yeah.
And it looks beautiful. And here, this is interesting. On Rotten Tomatoes, it gets an 84% from critics from 93 reviews. So that it was widely reviewed. 52% of audiences liked it. 32 points lower. So that tells me there's probably an unexpected ending. or a main character dies or something to tick off the audience. But it definitely looks like a very interesting film.
I'll say I'm avoiding spoilers until I see it, but I did pull up an article to learn more about the language being spoken, which is called Tola. It is a fictional language. Tola actually stands for the origin language. It's a mix of Arabic and Basque, which is like from the northern part of Spain, I believe. But they brought on a real linguist to kind of the same way that Tolkien did for his books, invent a fictional language. I was really interested in that. And the article I read for that said, the director explains its confusing ending and its brand new language. So I closed my eyes as I got past the ending, but you've got a great eye for that, Pete, because yes, it seems it does have some twist that clearly 30% of audiences or 50% of audiences somewhere in there.
But substantially,
not for me.
Substantially lower than the critics. It's funny you said that about ADHD because I have been watching. Do you watch True Detective?
No, but like I like all these good things. It's on my list.
So it's just funny because I started watching season four with Jodie Foster, and I was very excited about it. And it's set up in Alaska where there's 24 hours of darkness. It's their dark season. There's the supernatural. There's all this stuff going on. And I, you know, it's one of those shows, Anya, that you just have to be on. You can't. And I made a joke earlier about how I get distracted by my phone occasionally and I miss 2 minutes and I don't rewind. And three episodes later, I'm like, what? What's happening here? Well, I got to go back and watch the whole thing again. And people are raving about it. And I'm so mad because I watched the last episode last night. And I'm like, I was just so mad at myself for my ADHD, you know?
Well, and that's the thing with really good filmmaking or showmaking is there should be moments, you know, so subtle, so quick, a character just swiping a key off the table, putting it in their pocket that he's not going to show up for three episodes. But I was checking Twitter when they did that. Three episodes later, they're able to break into some place they shouldn't be able to. And I'm going, what a plot hole. This show stinks when really I was not on. And I struggled kind of to find enough time to be on to watch shows that are, you know, over 24 hours worth of content in a season, multiple seasons, very hard, but it's worth it. I got to make the time.
Absolutely. And this is like six episodes. And my friends on Facebook are like, they're like True Detective season four. Wow. Finale. And I'm like, I watched it. I'm like, I must have missed something here because I'm not getting wow. But I'm sure I missed something, like you said, a key or whatever. My guest is Anya Esther. She is the producer of The Maggie Dawn Show and a screenwriter. And she is talking movies and TV with me tonight here on Nightlight. So, Anya, what have you seen? Anything? Or can you recommend some TV? Or did you see any of that? How are you doing on the Oscar films?
I have made a date to finally watch all of the Oscar-nominated shorts. The Oriental is doing their yearly screening where you can sit down in a nice comfy seat and see them all on the big screen as they're sort of intended to be. But of course, shorts don't really get wide theatrical release, and that's unfortunate. So I'm glad to go see that soon. But I got to be real, in the lead up to getting Maggie into these 2 hours and busted pencils and everything else, I haven't watched much more than TikTok, and I feel bad about that. But I'll make you this promise. By the time I'm on this show next, I will have actually watched a film, at least, or a show.
I'm a little behind now, too. I was doing really well, and now all of a sudden I have four films to see before the Oscars on March 10th, and I'd like to see the Writers Guild, the Writers Guild Awards that are coming on. There's a new film by one half of the Coen Brothers team called Drive Away Dolls. And it looks like kind of a caper film. Have you seen the trailer for that?
I have seen the trailer for that, and I am very excited that a group that's usually a team, now we're going to see just one half. I think it'll really give some insight into just how good the Coen brothers are at doing what they do, and which brother is it that's doing this one?
This is Ethan Coen, and I hope the Coen brothers haven't had a falling out or a brotherly argument or something that would be a shame. But it's Ethan Coen, written by Ethan Coen and Trisha Cook. And I want to say, it's directed by Ethan Coen as well. So, and a good producing team. It looks good. I love a good caper film where you don't know what's going on, you know?
Yeah. Again, with not knowing going in, I thrive on films where I go, okay, your one sentence premise is interesting enough. take me on the journey that you want to go on. And that trailer, it's a journey from the trailer already. So I'm very excited to see where we're going to go.
Are you, do you watch TV? Are you watching anything from the comfort of your own home while you're relaxing from producing your show?
I do occasionally. One of the shows, one form of TV that I do feel I can put on and, you know, occasionally ignore when I need to, different forms of reality TV. And right now that's Gordon Ramsay's Next Level Chef. Have you seen this?
No, I don't watch the cooking shows and people go crazy for them. Maybe
you.
I should. I don't know.
Well, I like them just because it gives me new ideas. It's a form of stress where, for me, I get so wrapped up in plot points that if it's stress that's real, like, oh my gosh, is she going to get away from the political adversary or whatever? I get too wrapped up in it. But if it's just like, is he going to burn bread? I'm like, there's more bread. We're going to be okay. But this show is interesting. It's quite literally three levels of kitchens with a elevator, almost like a dumbwaiter, that moves between them.
Oh my gosh.
The top floor with the best cooking equipment gets first pick. The middle one with kind of okay equipment gets second pick. And of course, the basement kitchen, modeled after, I would suppose, some of the best restaurants in New York, if we're being honest, gets the last choice. But there's great moments like when a contestant on the top floor reaches for a great cut of beef, only to drop it all the way to the third floor. He picks that steak up, cooks it, ends up winning. It's phenomenal.
What
it's a whole new take on the cooking competition show. Quite literally takes it to new levels, I might say.
So I'm
enjoying that.
you get ideas from cooking shows, I assume, because you're a cook, but will it give the rest of us good ideas for different ways to pick up fast food, or, you know?
It might even show you that some of those things that you want to pick up at fast food aren't nearly as complex to make at home, or maybe there are ways that chefs are prepping it in batches that you can take a note from and go, okay, I love to have carbonara. I hate to make a fresh carbonara every night. Oh, here's how I could batch make it, or here's how I could scale it back so it's a little more affordable to make as a weeknight meal.
Wow, look at you.
I sometimes get things like that, but
that's so
I also
cool.
learn a lot of things about how to not handle a knife or how to not drop a steak. So,
how to not drop a steak. I will say I don't
You're
need a TV show. I will say I don't need a TV show to help me not drop a steak. But what do you like to cook at home?
The typical producer's meal of a microwave ramen is not something I'll turn my nose up at, but
okay.
I'm a big fan of Italian food. I'd love to get better at cooking Chinese food. I've started to practice my fried rice skills, because that's something as a dinner, as a breakfast, as a lunch, fried rice just is always something I kind of want to go to.
I could eat pounds of fried rice. It's ridiculously
exactly.
good. Yeah.
It's so good. It's got the veggie in there, the egg, the rice. I mean, I'm not a nutritionist, but to me, that's a complete meal. Put a fortune cookie on top and call it a day. That's great.
My son showed me this. It was either a TikTok or a reel or something where it was, the whole thing was dedicated to when dad cooks. Like, it's this big production. And that's me. I cook like four times a year, and I'll make something kind of cool, like Mediterranean or Middle Eastern food or something, but like it is rare. And that I actually go crazy where it's not something like pesto pasta or easy or something, but it's so true. I wish I could cook more. Hey, this was really fun.
I'd love to.
Great. Yeah. You're so much fun. When you do your short film thing, will you come back on the show? Because I would love to, you know, I live in a smaller community. We don't have access to that. That's so cool. Is that the Oriental that's doing that?
That's right. That's the Oriental on Farwell Avenue, close to downtown Milwaukee. It is. If you've never seen it, go see a movie there. The whole building is
an
experience.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Get in there. It's great.
Absolutely. Well, have fun there, and please give us an update once you you've viewed.
Yes, I'll come back and tell you all about it.
Outstanding. Thanks so much for your time. Have a great night, Anya.
You too. Thanks again.
That is Anya Ester, producer extraordinaire. And I would say neck and neck with Conrad, if I may. But always fun to talk to. She's great. And check out the Maggie Dawn Show, which will start Monday from 2 to 4. When we come back, we're going to put a button on some old school talk, because I think the movie deserves it. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Great to have you with me here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican. She's a Democrat. She's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back. My name is Peach Waba. The show is Nightlight. Great to have you with me as we wind down here. Got a few more minutes to try to have a laugh and put a button on our night. I hope you've enjoyed the show tomorrow night. Who do we have tomorrow night, Conrad? We've got a couple filmmakers coming on. Where's my sheet here? Oh, yeah, Seth Anderson and Jason Hagen will be here. They made a series called Northbound in the UP that just dropped not long ago. They'll be along tomorrow night. So be sure and come back for more Nightlight tomorrow. We got a few more texts here. Full disclosure, as always here, I must say my biggest hero is a man by the name of Sage Weil, who gave me a network that makes me happy, keeps it honest, keeps it real, and that's why Civic Media is my favorite. Guess who wrote that one, Conrad?
I'm going to go with Rico, mainly because I saw the text.
Where is he from, though?
Rock County.
You're right. It's Rico from Rock County, not the other Rico, the lesser Rico. Thank you, Rico. We will pass that along to Sage. 262... From the 262, who cares about who the best host is? Anya is the, wow. Okay, but this is from that area. This is from WAUK. So, Conrad, do not, I should have read that first. That's enough. If you're going to pick on Conrad, you got to go through me first, okay?
Thanks, Pete.
I'm pretty tough on the air, too. I will get in anybody's proverbial face on the air. Here's Aunt Carla. Well, we watched Old School. My favorite name is Frank the Tank. In the time we started this show, Aunt Carla watched Old School. Rico, Aunt Carla's my new favorite listener. That's pretty cool. Thank you, Aunt Carla. And I agree. That's hilarious. We watched Old School. My favorite is Frank the Tank. Good for Aunt Carla. That's so great. So if you're in the Madison area, stick around. After Nightlight is a show called Mad Unity. It's great. It's hosted by Jorge Reyna. And that will be coming up immediately following Nightlight in Madison. So check that out. It's a great show. They have some really cool music. We have two, that's two really cool music shows on Civic Media, right? You got Max Inc. on Saturday nights where they have live music. And then you've got Mad Unity on Wednesday night. It's fun. From the 262. Okay. Now they're just messing with you, Conrad. Here's the thing though. If you're going to say Conrad is the second best, there's a ton of hosts. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm okay with second.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. But you need to spell my name with a K.
It's Conrad. It's the K-man. It's not the C-man. It's the K-man. So so as we mentioned earlier, tonight, or today, tonight, whatever, actually probably tonight because it's a movie, 21 years ago, Old School hit the theaters. And it's just a great, Todd Phillips is just a great filmmaker. He made a movie before that called Road Trip. And he's gone on to make a litany of comedies since then. But, and he always does a kind of a funny, weird, he always plays like a creepy, he always looks like a guy from like an adult film in the 70s. Maybe that's just his look in real life. But he always has a cameo in his films where he looks like that. It's very funny. Let's do another Old School clip. What have we not? We did the song. We did the toast. We did
the therapy. What else do we have left from old school comedy?
We can see where Frank the Tank officially came out.
Oh, yes. Okay, let's do it. This is Frank the Tank after he promised his wife that Frank the Tank would not be coming back. He's trying to be good. He's doing everything in his power. But as we all know, and Frank is the DNA that brings out the tank.
Oh, hey, honey.
I brought you a nice tea.
Oh, no, thanks. I got a fresh beer.
Can you turn that off? One second.
Wow. That's really loud.
Yeah, thanks. Took the restrictor plate off, give the Red Dragon a little more juice. But let's keep that on the down low. This is not exactly street legal. Hey, Mike.
Right.
So what's up?
Oh, nothing much. I was kind of hoping we might get to those thank you nights tomorrow night.
Oh, honey, I got Mitch's thing tomorrow night.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot.
But I can skip it.
Oh, no. No. Don't be silly. I mean, I wouldn't want you changing your whole life just for me. But you know what? I'll give Laura a call and we'll plan a girls' night. It'll be fun.
Thanks. You're the best.
Just as long as you promise to take it easy, you know?
What do you mean?
You know exactly what I mean. You've come a long way since Frank the Tank, and we don't want him coming back now, do we?
Honey, Frank the Tank is not coming back, okay? That part of me is over. It's water under the bridge. I promise.
Yeah!
Pardon me, I just want to get through there, this door, over if you don't mind. Thank you. That's my friend Mitch. He owns the house.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, yo, man, come hit this right here. You need to hit this. Oh, yeah. Hit that.
No, I appreciate it, but I told my wife I wouldn't drink tonight. Besides, I got a big day tomorrow. But you guys have a great time.
A big day? Doing what?
Well, actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring. Stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
You know what?
Give me that thing. I'll do one.
We're going to do one. Do you, baby.
Oh!
That's a talented man right there.
Woo!
That's what I'm talking about.
Do it up again!
Once it hits your lips, it's so good. We actually had the buildup in there. I didn't know that. I thought we went right to the party when I introduced that clip. That is Will Ferrell. And you know what? We didn't get a lot of votes tonight for favorite actor. It was mostly scene.
Yeah.
So well,
I'm going to go with Will Ferrell.
You know, so just because you did that, I'll do Vince Vaughn just because think he's so... his character is just hilarious, how condescending he is. And I love when they're auditioning people or telling everyone at the meeting how they're going to create a frat. And one kid raises his hand and Vince Vaughn says, yeah, this from the guy who probably won't get in. I mean, he's just such a jerk, but I don't know. They're all funny. Even Luke Wilson's funny. It's a great movie. And we gotta set those bottle rocket clips aside because... And it was released today, but maybe we'll hit some more bottle rocket tomorrow night. We will be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. You guys have been great. Thanks for being with me, keeping me company. You're all my favorite audience. I don't play favorites when it comes to listeners. You're all great. And I'd like to thank my guests, Jeff Cesario. So much fun talking to Jeff. Anya Esther. We'll be back tomorrow night. Thanks for all the texts. Great times, everybody. This is Pete Schwabe signing off for Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
Talk, just move right up the wall. There are lights, skies are lights, so we dance to the break down.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got the medicine, so you should keep your eyes on the ball. This is
from Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Albo. On Thursday, we continue to be live from Hayward, Wisconsin for the American Birkenfighter. Join us, noon to 3.
covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.